Hello and welcome to the Label Sessions Presents podcast. Label Sessions is the world's leading innovation expert network. In this series, you will meet some of the most interesting leaders anywhere, from across the worlds of business, design, tech, culture, and sustainability, all signed to the Label Sessions roster. To find out more about our work, helping brands and institutions around the world take on their big challenges for the future, head to labelsessions.com to find out more. For now, enjoy the podcast.
Thank you so much for taking time to sit down with me, Kurt. Welcome to the podcast, and really excited to talk to you. And I'd love to kick off with an introduction of you. So could you introduce to your audience what it is that you're best known for?
Sure. But thanks for having me. I guess my my background is from New Zealand, hail from Auckland, New Zealand. I've lived in London between 2003 and 2019 before moving to Dublin. Spent 4 years there and have now landed in Amsterdam. So in that journey, I've spent my career working in senior roles within the sporting community and more recently moved into esports.
To talk a little bit about that, you're known for your sort of, obviously, like you say, innovative growth and creating a sort of community around customer engagement. And where is it that you start with community engagement? Is it something that needs a lot of effort and time investment and sort of resource behind it?
Yeah, well, look, you know, if you start at the top, it's more about the, you know, it's about the mindset. It's about, you know, what's the end game and what do the community want? What are they interested in and what are they asking for? And I think, you know, being open and engaging with them is the most important thing. But a bit of honesty, you know, threaded through. So I guess in my time, I've seen the benefits and I've seen the challenges associated with that as we've sort of worked through my career at Fulham and then at Brentford Football Club. I think one of the most, public projects that I've worked through and led from that perspective was the changeover of the brand at Brentford Football Club, where we actually changed the crest from what it was to what it is now with a number of different objectives that we were trying to fulfill on that front. And to ensure that we engaged the fan base and took them through that journey was one of the most critical parts of that exercise.
What advice do you have for sort of optimizing commercial operations and enhancing fan engagement strategies?
In all honesty, I think that comes back to what do the fans want, and making sure that even more so these days is treating them as an engaged community and a community that has a passionate relationship with whatever you're trying to deliver and build in terms of your business, and making sure you're crafting your products and services to satisfy those needs. So it sounds really basic and simple, but when you get caught up in the race, you know, within football, for example, of finding that next pound or that next euro because the P&L needs it, and you know, you've got those challenges from above coming down to push for the short term results, you can get lost in that. But keeping a long term focus on, you know, why those fans are supporting that club and what they're after is most important to feed through to those that commercial success.
This is something that you've already described a little bit there, but I'd love to get you to elaborate a little bit more on how you approach branding and encompassing that sort of community building aspect and how that pertains to customer centricity. And innovation. What's your approach on that?
Absolutely, customer, fan, supporter first. that needs to happen. I think most recently in building Natives Gaming, we're entering into the esports community, which is quite strong opinions. They've got a very strong culture of togetherness within esports. It's a relatively small community compared to the broader sporting community, and we've had to be super careful in how we positioned, Natives as an esports business, entering into one of the high profile titles, which is League of Legends, and organically building a community behind that brand. We chose to do that with a performance lead. So, you know, putting a good team out that was competitive, that showed strength, that achieved results, but having integrity behind it in terms of our relationship with the community has enabled us to start building that community and behind the brand. And I think, you know, when you take a new brand into a market like that versus a, you know, 100-plus-year-old brand like a Fulham or a Brentford or a Manchester United or a, you know, you name it, those football clubs are steeped in history. You then find yourself looking at, you know, what is the main drive for that relationship? It's the history in the instance of a football club, but with natives and esports and new starting rights organizations, I think purpose starts becoming the main, you know, a really interesting device for engagement. What is the purpose behind that organization and leaning on your values in order to reach out and build a community?
Delving a little bit more into natives, what inspired your transition from the world of sports to esports?
To be honest with you, it was a little bit about time and opportunity. It was a random phone call to see if I knew anyone who could pull a team together in May 2021 to go into the Danish League of Legends competition. And at that point in time, you know, we were in the midst of COVID. We were exploring it. I was exploring a startup at that point in time that I joined, but wanted to take a look at this. And so in saying to the guy that called me, is there, you know, how long have we got? It turned out there was only 4 weeks to be able to turn this around. So we went from a blank sheet of paper to turning the lights on for natives, having, you know, nailed down a name, got the brand created all of the channels and everything, and turned the lights on the day before that team was supposed to start playing. And the rest is 2.5 years of achieving milestones on the way through from that starting point.
What was the process of actually like picking out a team to, or was it like an audition process, or did you reach out to people who you knew were good at League of Legends? Or
in a way, my lack of knowledge as a player on the technical side, on the performance side, if you like, was probably a blessing in disguise, in that I wasn't, you know, pushing to understand who we were getting and trying to evaluate it with an informed view on, you know, type of player, skill set, and all of those things. It was a case of, you know, you look after the performance side and find a couple of coaches, one for the first team, one for the academy. Do the trials for finding that talent. Meanwhile, I'll look at, you know, setting the business up and constructing the brand and commercials and so on. So, you know, one less distraction on performance, and I could focus in on creating it.
Taking it more to the sort of company side again, for startups who are aiming to scale and achieve sustainable growth like you have, what guidance do you have in terms of, say, commercialization strategies and business development and stakeholder communications?
I would say the biggest piece of advice I could give on that front is about engaging with as many people as possible and asking those questions of them to gain insight and knowledge. I think that goes hand in hand with something I learned through my first venture, which I stepped away from. Was to give first. And it's something that Techstars is well known for, and something that I adopted out of that experience was to give first as a founder. So yeah, absolutely asking questions, speaking to as many people as possible and gaining knowledge and insight while also giving your time. I think you set yourself up for success there, because you'll broaden your network and community of people that you can reach out to over time pretty quickly.
What do you think other industries could learn from how the world of sports management has sort of streamlined their operations utilizing technology?
I think the world of sport, from a commercial and marketing perspective, learned a lot due to the COVID lockdowns, to have to reorient their business on the basis that you weren't selling tickets, having to deliver value for season ticket holders that had purchased tickets for that particular season. I think that forced, you know, the commercial business to take a step back and say, well, how can we do this differently? And, you know, we experienced that, or I experienced that when I was consulting with Shamrock Rovers at the time. We just achieved 2 sellout crowds for the first time in their history at Teller Stadium. And then all of a sudden we weren't able to bring those crowds in. So to pivot the business and focus in some other areas was super critical. And I think, you know, looking back on the time I've been in esports, there's a lot to be learned from esports in terms of the, you know, the digital relationship with fans that sport can take some learnings from.
How did you find sort of navigating the differences between communication with fans in like a traditional sporting sense and an esports sense? Because obviously esports obviously revolves around streaming, and sometimes there's like the big sort of stadium events where people go and attend physically, but there's obviously a lot more pivot towards online.
You paint the picture, or painting the picture in terms of where we're at. So you've got tier one organizations like Cloud9 in the US, or Fnatic over here in you know, the UK and Ireland. And you know, they're the ones that'll have those crowd experiences in person with, you know, tens of thousands in a stadium watching them around finals time. We're sort of tier three organization. Our operation is very much remote. But what we're looking to do is create some in-person instances around watch parties and some tactical exercises like that to connect that online and offline experience and deliver a more rounded proposition from a sponsorship point of view. We also own and operate the Ireland Esports Collegiate Series, and having picked that up from a bit of a nomadic existence moving around, we're now anchoring that around some key in-person events that we started last year and are looking to continue and grow through 2024. So I think it's really important to get an element of in-person interaction for esports as opposed to just online, because that's really what I guess brands are looking for, opportunities to activate in person just as much as the digital strength that esports has.
What do you think is exciting about Web3 in your world of sports marketing and tech? And what do you think is on the horizon for 2024 in this sort of space?
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing question in the context of what we're talking about. And it was actually something, just reflecting on the last question, that should be, you know, that I wanted to include there in hindsight, is, you know, the way that technology is driving change as well with Web3 and AI coming into play. You know, the importance of it, I think, to me, based on what I've experienced, it's, you know, the adoption of Web3 is inevitable. You take a step back and go Web1, Web2, Web3, you know, and Web1 was, Netscape was one of the earlier ones, and that's not around anymore. And that was about reading online. Then we had, I think MySpace was sort of at the front of Web2, with this read-write relationship using the technologies, and MySpace isn't around anymore. So when we look at Web3 and what we've seen early doors coming through in terms of the technology companies behind it, I'm not sure all of them are going to be around once we get sort of mainstream adoption of the technology, and what it looks like at that point in time could be very, very different to what it is now. But the fundamentals are there in terms of, I guess, the different layers of technology, from blockchain right through to, you know, wallet interaction and this portability of data and the ownership of that and tokenization of digital and physical assets and all of these benefits and functions of that technology, I think, are super exciting from a sports and esports perspective in terms of the business of those, and certainly having some fun looking at how we evolve our particular business as we move into a software development phase, and making sure that we're leaning on the benefits of Web3, but also looking at how we adopt AI into what we're building from a gaming point of view.
As I hinted towards a little bit earlier, there's the quick fire questions that we always do, and they're always opportunity for a little bit of fun and something a little bit different. And I'll just kick it off. So what's the sort of signature dish that you use to impress friends or family, even if you're not a great cook? Not saying that you aren't.
I would have to lean on my Kiwi heritage and turn that barbecue on any month during the year. Rain, hail or shine, you can always put something on the barbecue.
In another life, what would your career be, do you think?
And I've always had an interest in medicine, but I'm not sure I can be a surgeon. But I think that would be interesting. Otherwise, maybe daredevil sort of physical experience type, something like that. Physical challenges. I've always been, wanting to get involved in those drills the Royal Marines do and that sort of stuff. I've always been fascinated about those. Survival challenges and what have you, but I couldn't see myself being in the army.
What is the first work thing that you were really proud of?
That exercise of rebranding a 100-plus-year-old football club in such a high-profile public environment and landing that, I think that's certainly one of the career achievements that I'm super proud of. It's certainly the most public one.
Brilliant. And then you've given a lot of great advice in these past sort of 20 minutes or so. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Two things I'd stick side by side. One is perception is reality, regardless of whether, regardless of whether you've told someone exactly what is going on, what their perception is what they see as reality. And I think that's super critical. The other one I'd go back to is that give first piece of advice that I received. I think those two hand in hand would be the best advice I've received.
And we're jumping up to our big finale, which is our trademark question we always ask everybody. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most, how weird are you, Kurt?
How weird am I? Crikey. I guess it depends on what environment you stick me in. I'll go for 7.
That brings us to the end of the podcast. So thank you so much for taking your time to sit down with us, Kurt. It's been a really, really great insight into the world of sort of esports and sports and in general, frankly. So thank you so much for that.
No, my pleasure. It's great to get involved and enjoyed talking through those. But that weirdness one is. That was good left field volley there from you. So thank you.
As we close out another episode, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow us on our social channels. Want to access Label Sessions for your brand? Whether you want to build new products, access world-class mentors for your team, or reinvent the way you attract talent into your business, visit Label Sessions to find out more.